You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17 to 10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to this latest edition of The Punt Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to the two EFL Cup semi-finals that we've got coming up this week, starting at Wembley on Tuesday night with Spurs taking on Chelsea, and then on Wednesday we have Manchester City, who are, as you might expect, long odds on to get the better of Burton Albion for this first leg. Of course, these semi-finals are two-legged affairs, and Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair. Joining me on punditing duties today is Mr. Alex Dunn. Alex, it's been a while since we've sat down and talked football in a recorded environment.
Yes, we did it the other night, actually. You ruined dry January for me. Do you remember that?
Vividly, yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a nice few pints that we had.
But and we watched some Star Sixes as well, didn't we?
We did.
Which was kind of like Masters football, but it didn't quite have the allure of Masters football.
No, until Jason McAteer and Michael Owen started scrapping.
That was good, that.
That was quite good. That was in the final, or the whatever it was yesterday. No, that was on Friday. That was pleasant. We spoke football.
We did.
Now we're doing it without the aid of alcohol, and people are recording it. So
it's
best behaviour.
It's going to be worse, really, isn't it?
Quite probably.
Than what Friday was.
Yeah.
But keep listening.
I was going to say, yeah. There's an idea for the punt going forward. Go to the pub and do it.
Yeah, that would be good.
Why not?
Why not, indeed? Let's start with Spurs versus Chelsea, which is obviously the more interesting of the two matches. And this comes up on Tuesday night. Spurs 11-10, the draw is 5-2. Chelsea are 23-10 in the betting for this one. Obviously, this is the first leg. As mentioned, there is a second leg to come for these semi-finals. I liked Spurs here, Alex, but was then a little bit disappointed that they were such strong favourites. I thought I might be able to bat them, maybe even as the outsiders here, but they are well found in the betting. Well, I think justifiably so. I think they are favs here.
Yeah, it's 10 to 11 each of two to qualify.
Right.
Which tells you exactly what you need to know. Spurs have been so impressive recently. They really have. You go back to when they lost against Arsenal in the league, and since then they've been pretty flawless. They drew away at Barcelona, but of course that got them through. And they lost at home to Wolves. And you're a Wolves fan.
Mm.
And you'll know that that game tilted very quickly.
Yes.
It wasn't that Wolves were the better side for 90 minutes, but they certainly finished better.
It was a good first half from Spurs, but they didn't put the game to bed as they perhaps should in the first half, and they were then blown away in the second half.
They were. But that is, a half-hour blip on what has otherwise been a pretty good November and December for Spurs. Chelsea look at the minute like they did towards the end of Conte's reign, where players just seem a little off for whatever reason. They haven't really got the players at the minute or the informed players to play the system that Sarri wants to play. Should Eden Hazard be playing as a false nine? No, he shouldn't. It's not his best position. Should you be playing a striker to get the best out of him? Yes, but which one? Morata seems completely disenchanted. He scored twice against Forest and barely celebrated. He just looks like he doesn't really want to be there anymore. I'm a big fan of Giroud, but he doesn't score many for all he's good for the team. But then if you're playing Hazard there, then you're saying, right, that's fine, but which wingers are you going to play? Because Willian's been out of form. Pedro's been injured. Loftus-Cheek is currently injured. There's a clamour from Chelsea fans to be playing Hudson-Odoi.
Mm-hmm.
But is he the answer right now? Probably not. He's the kind of player that you want to integrate into the team over the next 2 years. Of course, they've done a bit of dealing in the transfer window with Pulisic coming, but he's not coming right now.
Yeah.
He's been loaned back to Dortmund. So I don't like Chelsea, and given the choice between the two, I'd much rather take the 10-11 on Spurs. But that's because I think Spurs can go to Stamford Bridge and score.
Yeah,
that's the key here. Now, when Chelsea visited Wembley last, they were absolutely hammered. Spurs just swept them aside at the end of November. It finished 3-1 on that occasion, but in truth, it was 3-0 after 54 minutes. It was game over. Ali, Kane and Son on the score sheet there. Now, of course, I just can't see how Spurs don't qualify.
Yeah.
Provided they do as they have been doing. So I think they will win at home, and I think they'll win 2-0, to be honest. I think once again we'll see Spurs, who had been accused after the Wolves game of looking tired, but then they went and they beat Cardiff in what, we were talking to someone out in the office earlier, he was saying, and he's not wrong, it's one of the easiest Premier League games he's ever seen.
Oh, it's an absolute stroll for Spurs.
And you've seen bigger scorelines.
Yes.
But it was just an absolute cakewalk. And then, of course, they've gone and beaten Tranmere 7-0. That's fine. Lovely touch by Pochettino, by the way, bringing Kane on. Did you see that?
I saw his comments, yeah, but I don't know. I found them kind of patronising.
I didn't at all. I thought, you know what? Fair play. Because at the time, I thought, God, he's just brought him on. That's harsh. But... No, I don't mind that. But anyway.
There was a little bit of, I don't know, him being like, oh, look at me throwing little old Tranmere a bone here.
Maybe.
Which is, yeah, I thought they were a little bit patronising.
For all that I've said that Chelsea have been a bit stuttering of late, they haven't lost all that many games. Since that Spurs game, they've lost twice, away at Wolves and at home to Leicester, but they're both games that really they should be winning. And they've also drawn at home to Southampton. Things aren't rosy for Chelsea.
No.
Things couldn't be going that much better for Spurs. They need to win a trophy. This is currently top of the list, I'd say. Mm.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, you know, many people have mentioned for some seasons now that Spurs' revival under Pochettino won't ever be cemented in many people's eyes until they get a bit of silverware. I'm in agreement with you here. I think Spurs do win the match. I wanted a bigger price on them, but I'm still quite happy to play them at 11-10. I think they're the most likely winners. You pointed to the Premier League game as well at Wembley between these two. That was probably one of the best tactical masterclasses from a manager that I can remember this season anyway. The way that Dele Alli just stood on Jorginho and Chelsea were not able to build anything out from the back. He was hassled throughout the whole game, had an absolutely torrid time, and I thought Spurs played absolutely superbly against Chelsea in that match. I think a reproduction of those tactics will see Spurs get the upper hand as well. And I mentioned Dele Alli there. He obviously got a goal against Chelsea. He scored more goals against Chelsea than he has against any other opponent throughout his entire career. He's got 6 against Chelsea and has scored 4 in his last 5 in this competition as well. It's a competition that Pochettino has taken pretty seriously.
Mm.
You look at some of the teams that he's put out thus far in the competition. I mean, it's a bit of a moot point because at the semi-final stage, everyone's going to be taking it seriously now. But he's taking it seriously throughout the course of the competition. And, you know, the fact that Dele Alli scored 4 in their last 5 shows that he's been a key man. He's been playing for them. It was a pretty strong side they put out against Tranmere in the FA Cup the other night. So I think he's thinking about a trophy as well. And I like Dele Alli to get on the score sheet in this one. And an interesting stat that he's been more prolific against Chelsea than anybody else, because I don't imagine too many players would have that statistic against Chelsea side. So I think he probably starts, and I think he will probably score as well. He is 17-2 to score first, 17-2 to score last, 14-5 any time. I don't think that's bad about him at all.
No, I was just about to bring that up, actually. He is... I was thinking about this the other day, because you almost have your first phase of attack where winger gets to byline and crosses in. And that is where Kane's the danger. But often with Spurs, it's then from that winger, before the cross comes in, laid back to Trippier or Danny Rose or Ben Davies. And then they cross it in. Spurs do it a lot. And Dele Alli is so good in that second phase of attack. Whereas Kane is distracting the two centre-halves.
Yeah, sure.
They rush out by 3 or 4 yards. Alli times his run so that all of a sudden he's in the box, on the edge of 6-yard box, practically alone. He's done it a lot of times in his career, and I can see him doing it against Chelsea because they're the kind of team that they defend as a unit, and it makes it a bit easier for him. He's not being man-marked by anybody, and David Luiz still doesn't convince me in defence. I mean, team news is important.
Yeah.
It may be that he doesn't start, but if he does, I'm with you. I'd have him down as a really, really strong bet in this. I mean, some of the enhancements that we've got, though, are bound to to tickle people's fancies, because
pensive Kane and Hazard.
Well, for all that I've said that I don't think Chelsea will score, the 7-1 on Kane and Hazard both to score in the game has been boosted from 4s to 7s, practically doubled.
Yep.
That's a big, big price. I don't think it'll land, but from a value perspective, or even as a saver, if you like, think if Chelsea are going to score, it's likely that it will be Hazard, but that's obviously stating the obvious. I think Spurs can do a job here, though. So I'm willing to back Spurs on the handicap.
Okay.
Minus a goal, 13-5. Probably the best bet in the game for me. I like Ali any time. Yeah. I certainly couldn't put you off Kane any time, but the price reflects that. But I think Spurs minus a goal in the first leg will certainly do. But to qualify 10-11 is, as far as I'm concerned, lovely.
Spurs minus a goal would have landed, of course, in a Premier League meeting between these two at Wembley, and that's 13-5. And my favourite bet in this game as well would have landed in that meeting. Mentioned Dele Alli, and I like Spurs as well, so I'd be confident enough to pair the two up in a win cast here and go Dele Alli anytime and Spurs win the match at 4-1. It's 14-1 he scores first and Spurs win anytime. He did score first in that last game, of course, after only 8 minutes. I'd be prepared to have a quarter of my stake on that as well, and have the bulk on Alli and Spurs to win as a win cast at 4-1. But that's definitely the pick of the two games that we've got coming up midweek. Because on Wednesday night, we have got Manchester City taking on Burton in the other semi-final. And at Manchester City for this one, as you might imagine, are pretty prohibitive in the betting. They're 1-33. The draw 14-1. Burton are a whopping 40-1. Not a bigger price as Rotherham were over the course of the weekend. I think they were even bigger. That obviously finished 7-0. I think there were eyebrows raised in terms of Pep Guardiola's team selection, but also after the raised eyebrows, I think a lot of people were thinking good on him, because he took that game very seriously. That was a very good Manchester City side, and they duly trounced Rotherham by 7-0. Burton would obviously be delighted to have made it this far. The chances of them being good enough over two legs as well against Manchester City seem slim. I just don't see how Burton even score over two legs. And I'd want to try and be creative and get away from City here, or just find something, but other than backing City heavily on the match handicap, I can't. What about you?
No, it's difficult. You'd sort of rather that the first leg was at Burton, because if it was maybe 2-0 to City, it gives you the slightest glimmer of hope. But in reality, how this is a semi-final, fair play to Burton.
Yes, definitely.
It shouldn't be, but they've got this far and they've been great. It's difficult to look for a bet. Similar to the Rotherham game on Sunday, I saw the team news come out and thought, God, I've got to have a bet on one of these guys.
Yes.
I ended up backing Mahrez close to even money. Now, the fact that, and he did score, but the fact that everybody scored really, who was moderately fancied, it's really difficult to know what team will be put out here. Does Jesus start again? Well, if that game had been last week, and they'd come into this fresh, you'd think, yeah, probably, he'll rest a few still. But were players rested for the FA Cup so they could play in the League Cup? It's difficult, isn't it? But it's one of those things where I don't think that team news really matters. If you're having a bet on an anytime goal scorer, just wait, because you're not going to lose that much value, I wouldn't have thought. It's just difficult. So I'm going down the stats route, firstly. Yep. So we've got stats trebles on the William Hill website. Over 2.5 goals, under 10 corners and under 4 cards is 27-10. That gives you interest. So over 2.5, you would expect to land. That's fine. Not a problem. Under 10 corners, Burton will be lucky if they have one.
Yeah.
Basically. And Man City don't go crazy on corners, because they play such a possession-based brand of football, it's rare they get to the byline. Mm-hmm. They're normally trying to walk it in, basically. And under 4 cards, because I don't think they're going to go crazy.
It'd be hard for Burton to get near enough to Manchester City players to foul them.
And you're allowing 3 cards of grace there, that's fine.
Yep.
27-10, not bad in a tricky game, punting-wise. Hmm. Now, obviously, of those towards the head of the betting for any-time goal scorers, David Silva, 5-4, it's about the right price. Kevin De Bruyne is 17-10. I mean, these are the ones who are slightly more appealing prices. I'm not even considering Sterling and Mahrez at 11-20 and 13-20.
De Bruyne's League Cup record as well, particularly good for Manchester City. 8 goals and 4 assists in 12 League Cup appearances for Manchester City. So he's had a hand in 12 in 12, and 8 of those have been goals. I liked him here at 17-10. He's obviously being eased back into the fold, having missed so much time through injury. Mm. It wouldn't surprise me if they continue to ease him back into the lineup. Started against Rotherham and may well do so again here.
Yeah, it's one of those things when he's come back from an injury, you don't want to rush somebody back. So it'll be interesting to see if he does start. But you've got players there like Gundogan is 14-5 anytime. That's the kind of bet I don't mind having a couple of quid on if he starts, because he's the kind of player who will have a couple of shots in the game at least. And you're not taking a ludicrously short price. The other ones that I liked, it depends who's going to play, but the centre halves.
Yeah, okay.
Just because the prices that they are, they're 6-1 any time or 15-2, depending on who starts. Laporte 6s, Otamendi 6s, Kompany 15-2, Stones 15-2. For interest, and that's all you can really have on this game.
Yes.
A couple of quid on each to score any time will give you interest. And you wouldn't be surprised if City score from a corner or a set piece at some point in the game anyway. Again, I'm not really setting the world alight here, but it's pretty hard to. You mentioned handicap markets.
Yes.
City minus 2 is 2s on. City minus 3 is 6-5.
I think that's the bet here, though.
City minus 3.
Mm. I like the fact that that's odds against. I thought you might have to go to 4 to find.
City minus 4 is 27-10. Yeah. I don't mind Burton plus 4.
Okay.
At 8-15, but it's short. I mean, let's face it, it's short. I could find a better 8-15 shot across the world on Wednesday yes. night in some other sport, or even in, you know, lower league football or whatever. But that's the kind of prices that you're dealing with here. Man City minus 5, so to basically win 6-7-8-0, 11-2. It's not for me.
I think we're potentially dealing with something similar to what we saw against Rotherham at the weekend. Burton playing the division below Rotherham.
Yeah,
course.
Yeah. I just think it can't happen again. It should. But if you're looking for any more value, Man City half-time, full-time is 2-9, but it's 2-9. It's not great. If you think it's going to be tight, under 2.5 goals is 11-4. If you think that City will win this, you know, 2-0. But in reality, it is going to be one-way traffic. And fair play to Burton for getting this far, but there is absolutely no chance of them upsetting Man City here. The other thing that I would mention, I mentioned corners earlier. There's no value to be found currently on the handicap markets, but in play could be a goer. Right now, the biggest handicap you can take, Man City minus 5 corners, is 4-9. That will land, so I don't mind it, but it's 4-9. It's short. It's just so hard to find anything. First half, Man City corners over 3 is 8-15. But look, you are literally looking... You are looking through the depths of the match console to try and find something you like here. Just be sensible. I'd take a chance on the goal scorers, Gundogan and the two centre halves, just for a bit of interest. But ultimately, that stats treble I mentioned earlier, 27-10, probably the way to go in a tricky punting game.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be with Man City minus 3, 4 and 5 for this one. I can't see anything other than a repeat performance of what they served out to Rotherham over the course of the weekend. But whatever you fancy, do make sure you check out all the betting on the William Hill website and on the app as well. There are loads of enhancements already on these two games. They'll both be your odds matches as well. So if there's anything you like that isn't priced up already, simply tweet at William Hill with the hashtag your odds, and our traders will do their level best to price it up for you. The punt will return on Thursday as we look ahead to the return of Premier League football. Alex, thank you for that, and enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.